sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Going to start a little bit differently this week. I am not going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. The main reason for this is because I am absolutely pushed for time. There is currently a big plumbing situation going on in the house, to the point where my kitchen has been ripped up and flooded. So I'm just pushed for time, to be honest. I've got a plumber due any minute, really. Well, probably not any minute. He said he'll be about an hour, so I've not got long to record, and then I don't know if I'm going to get time after that, so I'm just going to get what I can out. I was actually considering just not doing an episode this week, but I want to, so here it goes. If I was going to say, if you're only hearing this on the That's a Freebie Plus feed, then I didn't even get time to edit it. However, you would not know that. No one would know that. So that is just a thing that I would know. So anyway, I'm going to make a start. So I had planned several changes for this week, and I'm still going to go through them because why not, right? It actually is probably easier than having to come up with regular content because, well, of the constraints I've got. So what I've noticed during recording over the last several weeks is that sometimes the flow of the show doesn't feel right. And I'm more talking about for me than for you guys. When it's all edited together, it's probably fine. But I do have a bit of difficulty jumping from segment to segment. It's not necessarily that, you know, there's no segues into the different topics and things like that. But what I find is, like, for example, the first couple of segments. So I have my week section, and then I have the buzz off section. And I find there's a lot of interchange between the two. So sometimes I find myself holding things back because I want to put it into buzz off, or I find myself with several topics that I want to put into buzz off. So I save it for the week after. And by the time that week after comes, I've forgotten the full story. A great example, actually, is the lady outside of Asda the other week who was trying to get us to sign up to Money Supermarket. By the time it came to telling that story, I'd actually forgotten the full story, and it was really annoying because it was a decent story. If I'd have just told it on the week that it actually happened, I probably wouldn't have forgotten exactly what the details were. So I'm going to actually just start rolling them into one section. And here's what I've done, basically. I've split the podcast up into three, I'm calling them acts. I'm not going to call them acts on the chapter markers or anything like that. It's just for me. So I've got Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3, and I've got a prologue and an epilogue. So my prologue is going to be Ask a Freebie. Act 1, I've currently just got tagged here. I obviously, this was a placeholder, but I've got, hey! That's just going to be my section where I talk about my week, basically, or things in and around my life. Because it's not always my week, is it? It's stories from the past. So that's just the general chit-chat section. So that's going to include the buzz-off topics. That's going to include stories from the past, the stuff that's happened to me that week, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll move on to Act 2, which is Pod Tales. And I've actually been considering, I'm not sure, so let me know what you think about this. Feel free to write in and let me know. That's a freebie.com, and you can click on the general purpose feedback form there. But I've been considering moving Podtails to the front and opening with the Podtails topic. Not sure yet. It's something that's been running around my mind. I was actually going to try it this week, but I gave up on it given the restraints. So once Podtails is over, I'm going to then move into Act 3, which will be the pick of the week and the finale. And anything else I feel like should just fit into the end of the episode rather than the beginning of it. So that could include anything there. There's not really like plans for it or anything like that, that where I'm going to change anything up there. It's just that I'm going to combine them all into one thing. So I've got a sound that will separate the three different acts and the prologue and the epilogue. Well, the epilogue will be That's a Freebie Plus, and that'll be separated by the regular sound that I have at the end of the episode. But what I'm going to do is, in between each story as well, I've got a shorter sound that I'm going to play, and it just makes it a little easier for for number one, for recording, because I don't have to worry, because what I currently do is when I record, I play the sounds as I'm recording and put them into the recording. Problem is then when I make edits to the voice afterwards, so when I make edits to my voice and the levels and things like that, it affects the sounds. So then I have to cut the sounds out and put a copy of a fresh copy of the sound in and think all that kind of stuff. So it should actually just make the production of this of the show a little bit easier. You probably won't notice anything much, because I'm not going to say, no, it's time for act one, no, it's time for act two. I'm just going to talk like I normally do. So yeah, let's see how that goes. Isn't the human body an amazing thing? I mentioned last week that we did our karate lesson, and I was in a lot of pain after it, like so much pain that I could barely lift my arms. I was struggling to, like, if I was sat down for long periods of time, I was struggling to stand up straight. It was mad. It was absolutely mad. And it just showed how out of shape that I actually am, to me. It was a very intense workout for a first lesson. Like, I've had a second lesson since then. Both me and the boy went on Monday of this week, and it was nowhere near intense as that first lesson. We did a lot more actual karate rather than exercise. And we both felt like we both afterwards we were a bit achy, but like I'm not achy several days after, which is great. But last week I was in a lot of pain all the way up until Thursday. And I woke up on Thursday morning, well, in the middle of the night or early morning, however you look at it, at like 3 a.m. Because I needed to go to the toilet, pretty much standard for me. And I was still in pain. It was killing. Like, I struggled to get to the toilet. I got back in bed. I went back to sleep. I then woke up at 6:20, which is when my alarm goes off in the morning, and felt fine. It was mad. It's like my body was like, yeah, you just needed those 3 hours extra sleep. That's all you needed. 3 hours sorted, problem solved. Bish, bash, bosh, you're out. I was amazed. So it heals pretty well. And it heals pretty well. It obviously didn't heal pretty quickly, but for some reason, I just needed those extra 3 hours. I thought it was quite amazing. This week's tram story of the week. I promise that's not a thing. I just decided to do it then. This week's tram story of the week is I got to a tram stop the other day, got off, and I noticed that there was a pair of AirPods that had been put on top of the card reader. And I was really, really amazed by it. I know it sounds like a really silly thing to be amazed by, but AirPods are expensive. Somebody had very clearly found them. And instead of stealing them, they picked them up and they put them on top of the card reader so that the person who lost them might come back looking for them and find them. Because I would, if I lost a pair of AirPods and I thought they might have been at the tram station, I'd probably go back looking for them. And I was really amazed. And what amazed me more is that people weren't taking them, because obviously they've been put in plain sight. People getting off the tram clearly weren't going to be the person that had lost them. Yeah, and it just amazed me. Anyway, so I've now got a new pair of AirPods. I thought I'd share... No, I haven't. I'm joking. I did not steal the AirPods. I've already got my own AirPods. That would be ridiculous. The other day, I was picking the wife up from work. And we, obviously, to pick her up, we drive. Because it'd be silly to not do, wouldn't it? Imagine walking up and carrying her home. She'd probably like that, actually. I'd struggle. Because it's a long way to go. You thought I was going to make a fat joke then, didn't you? Yeah, well, that's not fair. I would never do that. For a start, she ain't fat. I'm the fat one in this family. So anyway, I'm driving along, and basically I need to turn right to get onto the street that her work is on. So I'm just about to turn right, and a car came bombing down the street that I was about to turn into. Went to pull out sort of in front of me, and then slammed his brakes on because he realised I was there. Unfortunately, that meant that he was now blocking the entire street because of the way the cars park on this street. It's one of those streets, we've all seen them. Cars park so unbelievably badly and right to the very corners of the street that there ain't no way that two-lane street is two lanes. It's barely one lane. You drive down there struggling to not hit other cars, and it makes it almost impossible to turn into places as well because of just how closely to the corners everybody parks. But hey, that's how that street is. So he stops, and I'm assuming he stops to let me turn, but I couldn't turn because he's now on the wrong side of the road and there's a car parked on the correct side of the road. So I had nowhere to go. So I sat there thinking, well, he'll notice in a second. Anyway, a few seconds passed by. He didn't notice. I flashed my lights. Didn't notice. I waved my hand out the window to say, go on, you're okay, you can go. Didn't notice. By this point, there's a row of cars building up behind me. A couple of them are honking the horns, like as if there's anything I could do. So I leans out the car window. Red hot sunny day, so all the windows are down. His windows are down. And I shouts, go on, mate, you can go. I can't get down there until you move. Nothing. No response at all. The car's just sat there. Music's going dum ba da bum da da bum da da bum out the windows. I was like, oh, come on. So I did the only thing I could do. I got out of my car, walked over to his car, looked through the window, and he's not there, right? Now, there was a person in this car when he pulled up. I saw his head. I was like, where did he go? So I got a little bit closer because I was still across the road at this point. I got a bit closer. He's only sat in the car doing lines off the top of a CD case. I went, oi, move. And he did. He panicked. He threw his CD case, put his foot down and shot off down the road, going all over the place. I walked back to my car and I shouts out to the row of cars behind me, he's doing lines. Got in the car and drove off. I drove around the corner into the wife's work. The kids are like, what does doing lines mean, Dad? I was like, oh, no. I said, I'll tell you when you're older. He was just doing something that was a bit naughty, that's all. And he's gone now. Let's forget about him. Imagine getting an invitation in the mail to watch your favourite football team, the Washington Redskins, now known as Commanders. And this is at a sold-out game, mind you. Not only that, but you're promised 2 free tickets, a chance to win Super Bowl tickets, and a brunch beforehand. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, for 101 unsuspecting fugitives in 1985, it was. Welcome to Operation Flagship, one of the most clever sting operations in US history. Here's how the US Marshals Service and Washington, D.C. police pulled off this epic undercover operation with a little football, fake cheerleaders, and a whole lot of creativity. Back in the 80s, the US Marshals were on a mission to catch fugitives who were dodging the law. They had a pretty brilliant tactic. Law wanted criminals out in the open with promises of amazing prizes. It was way safer than trying to catch them at home, where they might be armed or ready to run. In late 1985, a group of marshals noticed how crazy people were about the Redskins games. Tickets were almost impossible to get, and there was a huge waiting list for season passes. That gave them an idea. Why not invite fugitives to a fake event, promising free tickets to a sold-out Redskin games? I don't believe for a second that people would fall for this. Let's find out. So here's how the plan unfolded. The marshals sent about 3,000 invitations to the last known addresses of various wanted criminals. The invites came from a totally made-up company called Flagship International Sports Television. Sounds fancy enough, right? Interestingly, that stands for FIST. They told the fugitives they'd won 2 free tickets to watch the Redskins game where they take on the Bengals. And it was a pretty critical game as well, so people were wanting to watch it. Plus brunch at the Washington Convention Center and the chance to win season tickets or a trip to the Super Bowl. Which would have been Super Bowl 20. And guess what? 167 people fell for it. Well, there we go. I really didn't think people would fall for it. But I suppose you're sending 3,000 invitations. Someone's going to fall for it, right? There were clues that this might have been a ruse, though. For example, the signature on the invite was I, Michael Detnor, which, if you're paying attention, spells wanted backwards. Wow. And if you called to RSVP, the phone would be answered by Marcus Cran. Yep, that's right. Narc. Spelled backwards. Still, the promise of football was just too tempting. Right, this is what blows my mind about this. They've had this great idea to catch people. Now, bear in mind, this is in 1985, right? So this isn't something that's already a trope in the media that, people have seen. In fact, this inspired most of those tropes in the media, right? So why would you risk it all by putting names like that in it? Like, why would you give clues to people that it might be a sting? Oh man, it shocks me. But anyway, it worked. It didn't matter. On December 15th, 1985, everything was ready. The marshals and officers arrived bright and early at 5:30 a.m. to set up the convention center. They dressed up undercover as everything from tuxedo-clad ushers and mascots to cheerleaders and maintenance workers. The idea was to make everything look completely legit. They had balloons, a brunch buffet, and even videos of the Redskins' first Super Bowl win playing on the screens. Fugitives started showing up early, excited to claim their prizes. They were greeted, given name tags, and led into different areas where the marshals would double-check their identities. Some officers even wore Redskins gear and handed out hugs disguised as frisking to make sure no one had weapons. That's mad. There is actually, I'm going to mention this now, I was going to mention it at the end of it, but there is a video on this, which I will link to in the comments, show notes. This is what inspired me to do this, actually, on Podtails, is I saw the video and I was hooked by it. It's not a long video, it's definitely worth watching. And you should see them when they're doing the pat-downs. So there's people like walking, they put their arms around them as if to say, yeah, come on, buddy, you're a winner. And as they're doing it, they're patting them down, trying to find weapons on them. It's hilarious. It's like, it's really obvious, but they had no idea because they were so caught up in the moment. So the fugitives were led into an auditorium where they sat down to hear some important remarks from a fake master of ceremonies. At the end, at the right moment, the MC said the word, surprise, and 25 US Marshals in tactical gear swooped in. The fugitives were completely caught off guard and quickly arrested. By the end of the day, 101 fugitives were in custody. There is, in the video actually, there is a scene where they're leading them out, and that one of the guys who it showed them frisking is walking out going, it ain't fair, this isn't true, I still want my tickets. It's hilarious. Operation Flagship was a huge success and became one of the most famous sting operations in US law enforcement history. Not only was it highly effective, but it also avoided the dangers of trying to arrest people at home or on the streets. And here's the kicker. The whole thing only cost about $22,000, which in the world of law enforcement was a bargain, especially considering how long ago it was. The operation also became a pop culture moment, inspiring scenes in movies like Sea of Love and even a documentary short on ESPN's 30 for 30. Some of the officers involved went on to lead the US Marshal Service, and that's remembered today as a creative and safe way to catch criminals. So if you ever get a mysterious invitation offering you free sports tickets, you might want to double check who's behind it. That is the absolutely wild story of Operation Flagship, how 101 fugitives were taken down by nothing more than the promise of football and free brunch. Pretty clever, right? I'd have fallen for it just for the free brunch, to be honest, because love food. Don't forget, you too can send in your own topics for Podtails. All you need to do is head to the website or the show notes and you just hit that general purpose feedback form link, or just go to thatsafreebie.com. There's a link there for it as well. If you want even more That's a Freebie, then you should join That's a Freebie Plus. Just head to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com and click the link. There you can join for just £4 a month. Your membership gets you the plus feed of the show, which is sent out immediately after it's recorded, which includes almost zero edits, other than long gaps, so you can hear me plan the show and hear all of my mistakes. This feed includes the exclusive That's a Freebie Plus segment at the end of the show. And if you can't do that, or you don't want to, that's okay. You can still help by sharing the show far and wide and leaving a review in your favourite podcast client of choice. This week's pick of the week is the podcast The Incomparable. Now, The Incomparable is a podcast, But it's a lot more than that as well. It is a podcast network. So you will probably find that a lot of the podcasts I've previously spoken about, like, for example, Biff, superhero TV shows and movies, is part of the Incomparable Network. And there will be others coming up as well that are part of this network. And you can't go wrong just choosing this network to listen to their podcast. They are an awful lot of fun. The Incomparable is their flagship show, obviously, because the network is named after it. And they basically discuss all things pop culture. So they will discuss movies, comic books, books. They have a book club where they read different books. A lot of the books that I read, I've got from there. And it's nice reading the book and then going back and listening to the episode where they talked about it. They talk about latest movies. Again, usually involving some sort of nerdery. So that's what makes it so good. But they will talk about anything on there. It's a very, very good podcast. It is one that I suggest you put in your rotation. There will be episodes sometimes where you think, I am not interested in that movie at all, which is fine. All you need to do is not listen to that episode. Everything is okay. And I do want to leave you this week with a little bit of a sad story, really. I heard on the grapevine that poor old Humpty Dumpty had a bit of a disappointing summer. I really hope he has a great fall.